hope in its various forms can sustain us and keep us going even when times are difficult. I'd like to encourage you to turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In just a moment, we're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Hope is what allows a person to struggle crossing a hot, barren desert, thinking that there's water on the other side. Hope is what a cancer patient needs in order to endure great pain and discomfort of treatment, understanding that there might be relief soon. A person will spend hard, long hours at work because they have hope that at the end of the week, there's a paycheck waiting. Now, certainly all of these have different levels or variants of hope. But let's think about this. Do you have hope in your life? And more to the point of our sermon, what is your hope tied to? Is your hope tied to your health? Well, we've learned in recent weeks and months that health can be lost in a moment. Is your hope tied to your job? Well, we've also learned that there's no true job security in this world. Is your hope tied to your friends or to your government or to your dreams and your passions? Now, when you die, what will your hope be tied to? Now, there is a hope that God offers us. And do you want to know about that hope? The Bible teaches us, and God wants you to know about this, that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul addresses his letter this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. That's who I would like to talk about today. Christ Jesus, our hope. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, speaking of Jesus, the Holy Spirit said, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And in the Colossian letter, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, this is not for the Jew only, but also for the Gentile. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if we add all of these verses together, what's the conclusion we reach? That Jesus Christ is our hope. He's not only the hope of the Christian, but he's also the hope of all of mankind. Now, whether or not mankind turns to him in obedience, that's another matter. The reality is each of us has responsibility to turn from this world and from sin to God in Christ. And our responsibility then is to hold fast to Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. And our appeal is to everyone. Turn your life over to Jesus in obedience to his gospel. Have you ever thought about the fact that when the Bible speaks of people without Christ, it never does paint a pretty picture? In fact, without Christ, the world is presented as bleak, alone, destitute, and dark. And that's what we understand from our experience, too. That when we try to make our own way in this life, if we try to hang our hopes on our health or on our career or on our country or on anything of this world, the ultimate outcome is bleak, destitute, and is dark. Now, exactly why do we call Jesus the hope of the world? Because without Jesus, we are without God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He's speaking to the Ephesian church of what they once were before they were a part of Christ and then that relationship with him. But you see, God wants the best for mankind. And yet, when we're without Christ, We don't have any of the spiritual blessings that God desires for us. God wants to be the spiritual father of everyone. He wants us to be His children, born into the family through obedience to the gospel. And we are the children of God only when we have Christ. For the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 and 27 wrote, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so again I say, we're only children of God when we have Christ. Let's don't make the mistake in thinking that because God provides physical things for life, that we must already be right with Him. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For He, that is the Father, makes His sun rise on the evil and on the just, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." God's goodness, His physical blessings in this physical world, are just one of the many reasons why we ought to seek His favor. They are not only evidence for Him, but ought to prompt us to seek to know Him and to live in relationship with Him. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, let's notice what the inspired apostle has to say. In Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, Paul said, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, He allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Yet He did not leave Himself without witness. For He did good by giving you rain from heavens and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." He says, you have reason to seek God. God is giving you evidence for His existence, and He's even providing you with the physical things necessary for this life. But you think about how that's only part of what God offers, only part of what God provides. Because without God, as your spiritual father, you are spiritually lost. You don't have spiritual hope. Now, without God as your father, please understand that you do have a spiritual father. But he's the devil. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 44. "Those who believed Him but were not willing to do His word are considered to be children of the devil." And the devil, he's not a good father. In fact, he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And it's a frightening thing. Now let this sink in. If you are without God here and now, then you will be without God on the judgment day and from then on. Without Jesus Christ, we are without God, but we are also men without life. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, let's turn over to John chapter 1 and verse 4. We're going to step through some passages found in the book of John, beginning in John chapter 1 verse 4. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." In John chapter 3 and verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So already, in just these two passages, we see that life is given and resides within Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, we shall not see eternal life. John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse 21. "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will." In John chapter 5, verse 40, go down to verse 40 in the same opening. He says to some who are gathered to Him there, "You refuse to come to Me that you may have life." People don't always accept Jesus. And by rejecting Him, by refusing Him, they do not have spiritual life. Further in John chapter 6, look at verse 68. In John chapter 6, Jesus has challenged crowds who had gathered together with Him to hear His teachings, to experience what He could offer them. And He challenges their carnal thinking. Many, in fact, most, wouldn't accept the challenge. They would not remain with him, even though he said some very difficult things. But you know, Jesus, he was concerned about saving the lost, not simply drawing a crowd. And so he turns to his own closest disciples and he said, "Do you also want to leave?" And in verse 68, Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And that's what Jesus desires of us, to have the desire to be with and only with him, because we know he has the words of eternal life. Look in John chapter 8. Continue in the book of John. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus spoke to his disciples, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Again, there is this distinction, this great contrast between life without Christ and life with Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. He provides us with the light of life. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus speaking about the contrast between himself and the devil, he says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We've already addressed the fact that the devil makes a terrible father, and he gives nothing but death and destruction. But in contrast with Jesus, we have life. Now, we all have physical life, but that's not the kind of life that Jesus is talking about in the book of John. And this physical life isn't all he wants for us. The life he's talking about is not merely existence. Biblically, the life that Jesus offers us is an existence of well-being and of spiritual blessing. Without Jesus Christ, we're all dead spiritually. We're all withering and lost. We're cut off from the only true source of life. And you know what caused that? Sin. It's our sin that severs our relationship with our God. And that's precisely why the Bible speaks to us of being dead in sin, Ephesians chapter 2. And death, again, in this most basic and fundamental sense, is a separation. When we die physically, it's because our spirit is separated from our body. And when we die spiritually, it's because our spirit is separated from our God, who is the only source of life. And Jesus Christ, he makes a connection to this life possible. In fact, he's more than just the connection. He is the very source of this life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. He says to those who are in Christ, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." They're connected because of Christ's sacrifice and their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the question for you and for me is, are we connected? Are we connected to Christ through obedience to the gospel, or are we cut off from him by our sin? Without Jesus Christ, we are without God. Without Jesus Christ, we are without life. And without Jesus Christ, we are without light. Again, we go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, in which John, by inspiration, writes, "In him," that is Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." And these are just a few of the words used to introduce us to Jesus as he makes the transition from God in heaven to being God with us in the flesh. Let's go ahead and fast forward quite a bit. Go to John chapter 8 once again. John chapter 8, and notice those words we read a moment ago in verse 12, in which Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus, in those first two words, I am, is identifying himself as deity, as God. That's the name, in fact, used by God of himself back with Moses. And certainly beyond. And that's what Jesus identifies himself here in this text. I am the light of the world. I am, he says, the light of life. So without him, we're without light. And what do? He said, you walk in darkness. And I'll tell you, we walked long enough in darkness, haven't we? We've experienced that darkness far too long as we try to stumble around in this life without him. But he calls us into the light. He calls us into this relationship so that we can have this light of life. Look in John chapter 11, verse 9 and verse 10. John chapter 11, verse 9 and verse 10, in which Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? And so he's using the actual physical experience of daylight to draw our attention to a spiritual truth. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because of the light is not in him. When we walk around in the darkness, we stumble and we fall. What do you think is wrong with this world? Why all the crime, the violence, the hatred, and the evil? Well, it's because the world is groping around in the dark. Now, it seems strange, but the reality is the last thing most people want is the true light. The true light which can light their way in this world and on to heaven. And Jesus is the light. In John chapter 9, Jesus offered the healing of the blind man as proof that he is the true light. But not everyone accepted that. And not everyone today will accept that. And people who don't have Christ, do they really live a better life? Do they manage better? No, they truly don't. We've all lived this life to some degree or other in the darkness. I know I have. And I know from personal experience which is better. The light is better by far. The light is the only way to live. But let me give you a word of caution. Just because you're a child of God, just because you're already in Christ and counted truly as a Christian, it doesn't mean you're set for life. If we are in Christ, if we are Christians, we've got to continue walking in the light. If we're not currently walking in the light, then we're going to have the same problems the rest of this world is having. We're going to grope around in this life, and we are going to stumble. We'll be brought to destruction and ruin. And when we have the problems in this life, and we look for a solution in this world, and we seek the solution in health or in wealth or in work or in politicians or in this country or in anything physical and carnal, then we're walking around in the darkness. And we'll just continue in that darkness forever. The world doesn't have the answers. If it did, then Jesus would not have had to come to this earth. But he did come. Because without him, we are without God. Without him, we are without life. Without him, we are without light. And without Jesus Christ, we are without salvation. Look in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter said that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We are sadly mistaken if we think that there's some other way or some other Savior out there who will come to our rescue. No matter what someone claims, there isn't another way. There isn't any other Savior. We either have Jesus as our Savior, or we have no Savior at all. People without Christ are lost, and the plain truth is that in that situation, we are bound for eternal punishment. Some claim to be a good moral person, but that won't save us. Claiming morality that may keep us out of jail, but it takes Christ to keep us out of hell. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. We must not fall for the devil's lie that salvation is just a myth and that you don't need religion. If you don't have Christ, you don't have salvation. And without Him, we are without promise. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, what the Apostle Paul wrote. We read this a moment ago, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says to the brethren in Ephesus, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Without Christ, we're strangers to God. We're separated from the promises that God has made regarding salvation. And on the last final day, we might say, "Well, I want to go to heaven with everyone else." But God won't know you. If you're without Christ, then you're a stranger to Him. And the promises don't belong to you. Do you know why? Because you thought you didn't need Christ. You thought you were too smart for all that religious stuff. You thought you'd had it with organized religion, as you sometimes say. You might have believed that prayer and godliness, well, that's just for the simple-minded. But you know the promises belong to the ones who pray and to the ones who are godly, to the ones who belong to God. God's promises are for those who are in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, answer the question, how are you going to make it without Jesus Christ? Because we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, all the promises of God find their yes in Him. And that is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. So how are you going to make it without Christ? Jesus, again, has said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." All that awaits us outside of Christ is eternal punishment. Now, without Jesus Christ, we are without hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, once again, "Remember that you are at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." Jesus Christ is the only hope. And if you want these things that we've been talking about, well, then you need Jesus Christ. Remember earlier I talked about the person trying to cross the desert, looking for water? Hope is what keeps us going one step at a time. And the person who's going through cancer treatment, searching for a cure, enduring very dangerous treatments, hope is the answer to each of those treatments. Hope is what carries them through the difficulty to the other side. If we're without Christ, what is it that keeps us going? Well, we really don't have any true and lasting hope. Now, some will find a measure, a portion of comfort, saying, "Well, I hope God will save me anyway, despite my sin." But He said in His Word, He won't. But somebody might counter, will say, "Well, isn't that hope, though?" No, that's not. That's just an empty wish. Hope, real, lasting hope, is a desire that's coupled with expectation. You may want to be saved, but you have no right to expect it if you're not in Christ. I think you understand that Jesus Christ is our only hope. Without Him, we don't have any hope of salvation from our sin. Now, let's now consider the rest of the world for a minute. Now, certainly, everyone will stand on the final day, but let's make this personal. Let's consider you, your situation right now. God doesn't save the world all at once in some universal salvation. He saves the world one soul at a time through the preaching and acceptance of the gospel. Are you in Jesus Christ today? If not, you can be. Now, without Him, you are without God. You are without life, light, salvation, promise, and without him you are without hope. Without Christ, you just have no guarantee that the future is going to be any better than the past. You have no assurance that your life is working out for good. And on the last day, sadly, you'll find yourself empty and wanting, and you'll be sent away from the very presence of God. But it doesn't have to be that way. Hope is found only in Christ. And the only way you can enter into Christ is to be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will be able today to have and to possess and to hold on to the saving hope that Jesus Christ offers through his word and gospel. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.